Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast. We have a super, super special episode today as we don't just have Emma, we also have her wonderful husband and basically Aquaman, Matt.
Yay!
Hi, Darius.
How are you, man?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm excellent, excellent, excellent. Emma finally roped you into being on the podcast.
Yeah, reluctantly, I'm here.
Oh, no. I'm sure you're going to have fun.
As with everything in our relationship.
Oh, no.
Just a slight of resentment.
Well, Emma, do you want to... Oh, actually, Matt, do you want to tell us why you're on the show?
I think we're here to talk about our overseas marriage and elopement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thinking is good. Emma, is this correct?
It is. I thought it was probably a bit one-sided to just talk about the wedding myself. So it takes two to marry. So, yeah, I got Maddie on here and let's – yeah, and I was also interested to hear what he has to say about it. I mean, we were both there.
This is yep. Fine, is it?
This is not live. So any thumps and screams of pain, we can edit it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a little bit special. Well, it was actually very special for you guys, obviously, because you got married, but also because it was a little bit out of the ordinary.
It was a bit different and a bit secret.
Yeah, you could almost say it was an elopement.
Well, elopements don't always have to be a secret, but traditionally more so because it means less hassle if you just go.
And what is, for our dear listeners maybe, what is an elopement?
Well, I mean, for me it means getting married elsewhere and it is the running off or, you know, not telling people that you're going and just generally about the two people.
Sure.
Yeah, what Emma said.
I mean, I haven't looked up the definition, but you know, it's funny because we did tell people about, we told our family we were going to elope, and we actually told our family and friends that we were going to elope. Not when, not where, not how, but, you know, just so they weren't like, it's like, don't expect a big wedding.
To prepare them for the disappointment of not being invited.
Yes. Exactly. Did it help?
No.
No. No, look, it helped a bit. It helped a bit.
Yeah.
But it was like that was always our plan. So some people who don't know us as well didn't know that was the plan and were quite shocked and surprised. Other people knowing me and knowing, you know, and I think some of the listeners now having got to know me over the last 26 episodes might understand that that's something that I would do. So once people saw it, they kind of went, oh, yes, that's so Emma. And I think people knowing that would be like, yeah, he did whatever Emma wanted.
But it all turned out for the best because obviously with today's climate, it would have been quite hard to get married. So, everyone was actually quite happy in the end.
Well, and it's kind of like, yeah, we did something that was a bit unique and special and now it's everybody has to have a small wedding.
Yeah.
Are you wedding hipsters?
Yeah.
I know.
Elopement hipsters.
The other reason for the elopement, I mean, Matt can speak for himself, but I don't think he was a big fan of the traditional big white wedding and focus on, focus on you.
Yes. Less people talk in front of.
Yeah. Intimate.
It was, and the photos were, I mean, very special. I'm sure we'll put up some photos so people can look at them while we talk, whilst we talk. But why did you choose to get eloped slash married where you did?
So we eloped, Matt got married in Tulum, Mexico, and it was actually at the destination of our second international holiday. Yeah. New Zealand was our first one, but we don't count New Zealand as international over here in Australia.
Well, I didn't say that after our episode 2025. Sorry.
Did we get any blowback on that? We didn't, did we?
No, people are loving it. Loving it.
Good.
So, yeah, so when was that?
2016,
we went to Tulum, Mexico, and I took Emma cave diving or cenotes diving, and it was I said I'd take her to do from the onset of our relationship. I taught her how to dive, and it was always on her bucket list. So it was a special place for us, so we decided to get married there.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't marry you after you took them cave diving?
Yes, so we went to Dos Ojos in 2016, and that's a pretty famous dive site. It's quite on quite a lot of divers' bucket list, so that was pretty cool. It was like my 10th or 11th dive, and I did that. And I cried because, we met on Tinder, and on our first conversation I had told Matt about, he was a diver, so I was like, oh, have you heard of these cenotes? And I explained what the cenotes are. To then go there with him after learning to dive and having always known about this place, like, it was very emotional. And then, 4 years later, go back and get married there.
So you cried in the dive mask?
No.
On the way out.
On the way back. after the dive, I had a little bit of a cry. It was pretty special.
Because I know those early dives, getting water in your mask is sometimes a little bit stressful. And I just imagine it filling up with salt water while you're diving. It must be terrible.
No. Post-dive, probably a bit tired, a bit overwhelmed, but it was, beautiful. So, and Matthew very teasingly said to me while we were there, oh, I could totally live here. And I was like, don't do that to me. Like, I love Mexico and I would live there in a heartbeat. So I'm like, you can't say that and not follow through.
Well, early days, kids, early days.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And, okay, so you got married in Tulum. But it must be like a nightmare trying to organize it. Like, I have trouble organizing like a weekend away with the boys. getting people and like marriage celebrants and all that stuff. Tell me a little bit how that went.
Well, from what I remember, it wasn't horribly hard. The main bit was just working out if whatever we did in Mexico, would it be legal here? And it is. We didn't have to re-register when we came back to Australia. We didn't have to get a second piece of paper. We got the nice one in Spanish that we have got from Mexico. Oh, so
you guys have a Spanish marriage certificate?
Yeah.
Yes.
How cool is that? Sorry, go on.
But it was mainly finding the finding a wedding planner.
Yeah. So from the initial research, it was like pretty much it was going to be impossible to do it without going through a wedding planner, which to me sounded like a lot of money. But, because I just think of wedding planners that they're going to make you do all the flowers and all the venue and all that jazz, which we didn't want because it was such a small thing. But I did, look around and it was like, well, other people have eloped there, but surely it's possible. And we sort of just Instagram and website searching came across the, they do Mango Weddings or Riviera Maya celebrants, and just started emailing them, and they were super helpful. and kind of laid down what's involved. And I kept stressing the point that we are from Australia. Like, do you understand we're from Australia? And because I get a lot of Americans coming down.
Had several testimonials on their website from Australians that had gone down there and used them. So obviously that was a help.
But the thing in Mexico that, like, why some people don't want to get married there is because you actually have to do a blood test. And in some states, you have to do a chest x-ray as well. So,
well, before you get married?
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you're not lying to your partner that you're about to die soon or something. Yeah. I don't know. We never that was never explained to us.
Well, the chest x-ray, calls back from the tuberculosis, and the blood test is, like, Hep A / AIDS type thing. Mm. Like, they don't want families kind of, I guess, people
keeping it secret, I'm sorry?
No, well, you don't want to transmit it, and I guess they're assuming that people haven't had relations before their marriage. trying to stop.
She's talking about sex, everyone.
I talked to some people. We were fully set on this plan, and regardless, if we couldn't have been legally married, we would have still done it and then got legally married here. But we really wanted a special date. Our special date was the 29th of February 2020. Yep. So that's a leap year.
Mainly just so I don't have to buy presents every year, just one every 4 years.
100% on board, man. But if you forget that one, you're in serious trouble.
You're going to pay for that for the next 4 years. But so we kind of had that deadline as well, which was nice, to be like, oh, we have to work towards that date.
Hold on. And so you also have, along with your Mexican wedding certificate, you also have Mexican wedding chest x-rays?
No. So we actually didn't have to do the chest x-ray. We did have to do the blood test, which was real fun. So we were staying in a lovely hotel in Tulum, and our celebrant pulled up in front of the hotel. We're in her little, Suzuki Swift looking thing.
Yeah.
With a nurse. And they took our blood in the back of the Suzuki Swift. tube around the arm. I'm hoping the needles were clean.
No, they came out of a good bag. She's a proper nurse, everything. But it was pretty random, staying in this beautiful sort of five-star eco resort and then going out to the street and getting the back of the car. It was very Mexico. It was good because otherwise we would have had to go to Playa del Carmen, which was an hour away to go to the, and we didn't, we only had a couple of days. We had about 3 days.
Before the wedding.
We had to get there a certain time because the blood test had to be done before the wedding day. And so there was a few little worries about timelines in that respect too. But they were really great at working with us and went out of their way to come to us so that we didn't, because I just wanted to reduce, I didn't want to be driving here, driving there, doing that,
Sure.
So well done them for helping us. But all clear apparently because we got the certificate. And so once we had the planner, they tell you.
They did everything.
Yeah, she introduced us to, I was kind of, again, Instagram's great for these sorts of things, looking at photographers and videographers, and I found one that we quite liked. And it was actually on Instagram that we were going through. I thought we were going to get married on the beach. I'd always pictured it getting married on the beach. And then I came across this photo on our wedding planner's Instagram, and I'm like, can people get married at the cenote? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, that is our place. That's so unique, so special. Literally, cenotes are only in this part of the world. So how amazing to do that. And then, just seeing some photos and things we were potentially going to have a Mayan celebrant, but
I don't think that came down to cost in the end.
We would have had to do the Mayan ceremony as well as the civil ceremony, and it was
does that involve human sacrifice?
No, just some cool smoke stuff and beautiful language and just quite spiritual. Oh. So maybe in the future we would renew our vows and we could have that. But it was no, we really want to do the legal thing, so let's go with that way. And it was more because it just looked like a beautiful, but they actually made the ceremony look really beautiful and authentic anyway. So
Was it a long day?
Really long. Yeah. So Emma's makeup and hair stylist turned up at 5 a.m. 5:30 in the morning. We had a morning ceremony because that's when the light was best. That's when why they turned up so early. The wedding was, was 9 a.m. or something?
We left at 7:15. So we left the house at 7:15 and we got to the cenote at like 8-ish. And then, you know, there was a bit of setup and getting us in position and all that sort of stuff. So we kind of like got married at 9 a.m.
Yeah. And then,
then the ceremony.
Before breakfast, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't actually remember eating breakfast.
I had a smoothie and a coffee. And then we had a muesli bar because we were like, we were quite hungry by that point while we were doing our photos. And then we did something extra special after that. Which I'm sure you'll ask us about. And then we were finished at 12:30 and we went for tacos. That was our wedding breakfast. Was tacos and margaritas.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then
we had a nap.
A long nap.
It was so tight.
Then we went out for dinner.
We napped on our wedding day. Like, that's ridiculous. We had this amazing photographer, beautiful day, all dressed up, and Matthew's favourite photo is us passed out on the couch.
Yeah.
At home.
Our friends, took photos while we were sleeping on the couch.
Bit cute.
My mum's wedding photo is that as well. They had a secret wedding on New Year's Eve. Like, went to a New Year's Eve party and didn't tell anyone they were getting married and just like, okay, we're getting married now.
Yeah.
And their wedding photo is also them sleeping on a couch.
On the couch, yeah.
I think that's like, I like that. I think it's good. But I'm sure that wasn't planned and maybe the favourite photo, but what else did you like about the day, Matthew?
About the day?
Your favourite part of the day.
My favourite part. So the drive to the cenotes was fun. So obviously you're not supposed to see the bride before the walk down the aisle.
Yep.
And it's a bit hard when you're both getting ready in the same house and you've got to drive, half an hour to the cenotes?
Yeah, so we had a three-bedroom villa that we booked. So we had four guests staying with us, a couple and my two friends. And so we were all in the same villa.
Yeah, so my mate came up to get me. I was obviously upstairs while I was getting ready, put one of those airplane blindfolds on me. And then that didn't come off until we got to the cenotes. So I walked down the stairs. We did a bit of a photo shoot with me blindfolded at the villa and then got into the car and, gangster wrapped in the car to the cenotes. It looked like they were kidnapping me. This poor boy blindfolded.
Yeah, all this week.
They figured out he's got the right blood type and now they're taking him for good.
Yeah, this whole week we'll be putting up, I'm just going to do like a basically reliving the wedding. So if you get on the Instagram, Lovely Travels, there'll be heaps of photos of our wedding. And also our hashtag was Quick and Lovely Wed. So you can go and stalk the wedding. But, that was... Yeah. Funny.
That was fun, yes. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And the photos looked great of with the blindfold.
He looks like I've Married at First Sight, like they're all on the commercials. There's a show in Australia called Married at First Sight.
Oh, right.
And there's a bride and a groom with blindfolds on. And so, in the car, I was a bit worried that he would get, was going to get car sick, but you were fine.
Yeah, it was fine, yeah.
But 40-minute drive and he's just there and... And, we would play, old school R&B and I'm drinking wine in the back and he's, dancing like a white man in the front.
Yeah, that was fun. And
what about you, Emma? What was your favourite part?
I think it was really special, I think probably the similar thing. So when we got to the cenote, they took Matthew away and then he was allowed to take the blindfold off and I stayed up and hung out at the car. And then so they went down and set everything up and then I went down. It's quite a walk through this beautiful jungle and cenote area and it's just the birds so quiet, but the birds were singing and it was beautiful colours. And then the photographer came to me and said, like, okay, everything's set up, we're ready to go, but you get to decide, do you want to walk, you know, do you want to walk and Matthew can see you coming and walk towards him like you're walking down the aisle and your friends will be there. And we can set each other, like your friends up on the side of you so you're all together. Mm-hmm. Or we can do the reveal, which is where he turns around and you walk behind him and then tap him on the shoulder and he gets to see you the first time, just the two of you, like your friends mm-hmm. are out of the way. It's just like just the two of you together. Yeah. And I knew that that's what I'd always wanted. I just didn't know if it's possible. And I just said, is that okay with Matthew though? Because I knew it's a big day. I didn't want him to be nervous. And they said, oh, that's
even more nervous.
Yeah. They said, that's what he said you would want. He said you'd want that one. So if you want that one, that's what we'll do. And so that was really special to me because it was really cool. Like I had imagined things but hadn't vocalized them sometimes. So I sort of was like, oh, I wish it could happen like this. And then I thought, you know, it's such a big day, your wedding, and you don't want to, like, if you try and overplan it and, like, micromanage, you'll probably be disappointed. So I tried to, like, you know, we've booked the photographer, now let her do her job. You know, we've booked the celebrant, whatever they're going to say, I guess they'll do it, you know. I've told everybody we need to be in the car at this time. I guess we'll be in the car at that time. And just what happened on the day was that everything I wanted, everything I'd ever imagined, it was that but better. And like everybody just stepped up. So I had kind of imagined being able to do this reveal, but I hadn't wanted to add complication. And then they just made it happen for me. And so that was really beautiful. Like I just hire awesome people and let go and have beautiful people around you, like the couple and the two friends that we had, Emily and Jess and Jen and Dan, like just stepped up and were just absolutely 100% there for us.
Mm.
So, like, even, you know, I wanted pictures of me walking down, but I didn't ask anybody to do that, videos. And they just were videoing and taking photos and capturing moments so that we could just be there, and that was so special. Mm. So, yeah, I walked towards Matt and I tapped him on the shoulder and he turned around and burst into tears and I burst into tears and we just had this beautiful moment sobbing together and just looking at each other and it just being all about us. And then, you know, you even hear on the video, I'm like, what do we do now? you know, it's like, oh, this really, really beautiful romantic moment. And I was like, okay, I guess, hi guys, better come get married. So
yeah.
I totally recommend seeing each other. And, you know, for some people, they want that, you know, everybody to see you the first time together, but having that little moment together is really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds it. Yeah, it's a great video. I mean, all the photos and the videography and stuff, they did a great job.
Yeah.
Very lucky that you got it captured from so many angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our friends just, you know, like I did ask for them to record me walking, but like, I don't know, they just went over and above and just kind of got things that didn't expect and little moments. I
think like walking through a jungle next to a deep pool of water in a dress, like with shoes and everything, is probably a bit risky anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty like paved out and it's pretty open and we had the whole thing to ourselves. So the risk we had was that it was a public cenote.
Yeah, it was too expensive to go private.
Not public, like you have to pay entry, but like anybody can just go and pay entry and go.
Right.
And so actually while I walked in and Matt was already there already, while the photographer came over to me, these two people, just tourists, came through and I was like, get them out. But my photographer is Deborah. She's amazing, Deborah Ducci from White Crown Photography. She's Italian and she was like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Like,
push them in the cenotes.
Yeah. And there were like four different pool areas. So like they would, you know, it was like, guys, can you just go to another one? It wasn't even a big deal. They were like, oh, yeah, totally. Like, quite clearly there was something going on.
Yeah, there's a couple of times people sort of walked to the periphery of where we were, saw what was going on and walked off. There was definitely everyone sort of understood that.
So
you don't mess with someone's wedding.
So like, yeah, the difference was it was like $10 US a head. Or $500 US for like to hire it.
For the,
privately.
Yeah.
So we took the risk and the risk paid off.
Result, also good because it was in the morning. It was so early. Like we were the first people there.
Yeah.
It was good that for that.
Yeah.
Any other challenges that you mastered during the day?
The challenges probably came more when we were booking, and like for me, like I said, the date was really important. There was like a little time where they were like, oh, we didn't know if 29th of February was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, can you do it on the other day? And I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, there was the issue with the cenotes. Like the wedding planners had one that they always used.
Yeah.
And that was booked out. And then their backup one was booked out. So the one we ended up going to, they'd actually never used before. They didn't have a deal with the owner. So it was all sort of on the fly. They went and tested the site and, they said a week before, and they were like, it looks good and everything.
They sent us a video. It was beautiful. Like, it was, you know, and it, as I said earlier, just being like, is it legal? Is it definitely going to be legal? Mm. And then, like, with the blood test, just being a little worried. Like, we had already booked our flights based on, you know, 3 days before would be enough. And then it's like, ends up that it's...
We had to get a chest x-ray. We would have landed in Mexico, had to drive straight to a hospital to get the x-rays done because it takes a while for them to develop them. It was just lucky that we didn't have to do the x-ray because we didn't leave the airport till, 5 p.m. because how long it takes to get a car and everything. So that was a bit stressful.
But that was, we didn't need it, so it was fine. But the other worry was our friends came in on the Friday. And, like, I guess you're booking it all and you don't sort of worry that, like, I wish I'd asked them to come the day before because it was just, like, if their flight's stuffed up.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, usually we'd get married in the afternoon, but I think in the timings and everything, I hadn't made it clear, like, that it was going to be early in the morning.
So, they were quite late, like, 6 p.m.
Yeah, they got to the house at, like, 6. And
the day before the wedding.
Yeah, it was, like, in hindsight, I would have asked them to come the day before in case there was anything that went wrong. So I only got nervous I was getting my nails done. It was taking quite a while. And then I realized we needed food for the villa. And then these guys are going to be arriving. I sort of relaxed because I knew they were on the last flight, they were on the last leg. They were going to be picked up by the driver. It was going to be fine. But it was like, oh gosh, we have a few hours, then we have dinner, and then tomorrow we're getting married. And I just sort of got a little bit like, I was like, guys, you got to do this. Okay, you do that. Okay, just guys, just like, and I was trying to dropped, the shop was really busy, so I had to drop the girls off and then trying to like park. And I actually I've had a driving fine one of my visits to Tulum. So I was like, I know the cops are all around there. So I was like, I'm not going to get a fine on my way to my wedding. And then like running into the shops, then running back to the car. And it was just a bit silly. we had a very relaxed and lovely day till then, but I just a few hours of like pre-wedding nerves, and then then there was a moment where it all washed away and it was like, oh my god, we're getting married tomorrow. I just want it to be like there now.
Yeah, it sounds like it was quite relaxed on the day itself.
Went off and, that finish, definitely.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And like you said before, you get good people and then let go.
Yeah. But there was, I think we're missing kind of big part of our wedding day that is extra special, unique.
Well, thank you for taking over the moderation.
I keep wanting to say it.
Darius is supposed to be the word.
I know, but it's like, there's part of, there's a reason why there's extra nerves and there's a reason why there's extra complication.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
You can use that.
So a part of our wedding photography was to take a dip in the cenotes fully clothed in Emma's wedding dress.
You were in Emma's wedding dress?
Oh, yeah. That would have been spectacular, but no.
No. So we hired a photographer because she was a specialist underwater photographer. So that was the other thing that I saw on the wedding planner's site, that they do underwater photography. And I was like, Matthew. Like, I mean, like you said, he's Aquaman. So we had to do it.
Yeah. So it's called what? Wrecked the dress.
Trash the
dress. Trash the dress.
What, the service or the photographer or the style of
The style is called Trash the Dress. So, yeah, you get in your wedding dress and, you know, it's really obviously really clean, really clear water. So the dress survived. It's still in one piece and all that kind of stuff. So.
But Trash the Dress or Wreck the Dress is kind of a tradition. Some people burn their wedding dress. Some people go and get it dirty. Some people, like people swim in the ocean or like, I know that there's a few underwater photographers in the UK and they do it in a swimming pool, but like, again, the special thing here at this cenote is like, this is some of the clearest water in the world. Like, second clearest spot in the world next to Silfra, Iceland.
Well,
which we've also swum.
Which we've also done. Yeah.
Just, for another episode.
And how many, photos did you get? Like, how long were you underwater?
We ended up being
in the water
for 2 hours.
Whoa. So,
longest 2 hours ever. It was amazing for the first, you know, half an hour. The next hour and a half, you start getting cold. You start getting, like, sore.
Excuse me. I was doing all the work. God, I was, like, mermaiding it up. I was...
No weddy warmers?
No. I definitely wait.
It's called Wreck the Dress.
Yeah.
One of the cool things was, like, so before we went and did it, like I asked for, what do we need to do to prepare? And, you know, she told us to like bring snacks and like, you know, have the lipstick because your lip, like the lip.
We did not bring enough snacks.
No, we didn't bring enough snacks. Yeah. We did have snacks before, like because you need energy. Then just told us how to prepare, like don't stress and try to keep your eyes open and like don't puff your cheeks. And Matthew's done quite a bit of free diving. So he kind of.
Yeah.
Knows about that anyway, how to breathe underwater. So we did a little practice in our swimming pool before we went. And, yeah, it was just like a lot of people that, you know, they take a little bit of time. So, like, don't worry if it takes you time. Like, it might take you, like, 10, 15 minutes to get used to it, the water, get used to each other. And remember, eyes open. Don't puff the cheeks.
Don't let bubbles out.
Don't let bubbles. So you, like, take a breath.
Right.
Then you let the breath out and then you hold.
Yeah.
No, because you don't go – because if you hold your breath, then – you get that like holding
breath phase,
but also you'll probably breathe out your bubbles. So you breathe out and then you hold. Anyway, so we did all that and again she's like, guys, just relax and just remember this. And it's okay, don't worry, it takes time, da da da. We're like, I think we're ready. Okay, you know, ready to go. And all right, everybody go. So she goes down and then we go down. And, you know, sometimes people, I guess, can't hold their breath very long. So she's prepared for that too to take the picture. And so we would just we'll stay down as long as we can. And so we went down and maybe it was like 30 seconds or a minute or something.
No, it wouldn't be about 30 seconds.
And then we came up and she was like, oh, my God, guys, we got it. We got it. She's like, I want more. I want more. Okay, again. But she was really the first shot we got. And it's cool. I'll put it up because you can see that it's an early shot because my hair is still like perfect. Yeah. Curls, like makeup is still perfect. Like we still look, it's the first moment we've gone under. And so, yeah, she loved that we could, she actually kind of got annoyed at us because we were.
Like, we could out-breath hold her.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not supposed to.
She's like, guys, you don't make the photographer look bad. Like.
Because she was breath holding as well. She wasn't on scuba or anything. She was breath holding and.
So she's going under, and then there's a lady with a light, there's a flash. So there's another person, and then the two of us. So there's four of us having to like synchronize to go under.
And it must look really, really mad for anyone watching from the top. Like,
yeah, we definitely had towards the end when we had obviously a lot more tourists started coming into the cenotes. We definitely had a fair few onlookers.
Yeah.
Watching us take, like where we were still sort of out of the way, which was nice. But we slowly sort of drifted to where the main group of people were swimming. And then we had this four
super old, awkward.
these four old Americans were sort of just like swam into our photo, and we're just sort of having a chat and sort of looking at us and going like, "Oh, you know, what's but going on?" And
not registering,
not that registering like that there was something going on.
Completely
just paid by the hour, people.
Yeah. And just like, Jim, come on, like, come over here. Just be careful of the rock, Jim. Just keep going. Like, Jim's just floating along.
Yeah, just like swimming past it, and he kind of looks over and notices like Emma's in a dress, and there's a photographer as well, and they're like, oh, so sorry, we're in the way.
Don't worry, guys. I'm around in my bloody wedding dress all day. It's like not dragging me down.
And that was towards the end of the photo session, so like we were both getting tired.
A bit snappy.
Yeah, we were like, okay, come on.
It was very like, all right.
Like, did you get any pictures with them in the background? Like, I imagine it kind of looks like just the big white legs like dangling down in the background.
No, but we do have like you said, we had our beautiful friends watching, and originally we were told that they shouldn't watch because it could like distract us, or they might end up standing in the background or something. But because of the way the cenote was, it was really awesome that they could be, there was actually a bridge above.
Yeah,
so they were up on this bridge, like little cheeky monkeys, like watching over, and really cool because they got the out of the water shot. So we have the in the water amazing, but like shot. And then because some people didn't actually believe that it was real, it's like then we behind the scenes, I have this video of us going and then going under.
Yeah, I don't understand. A lot of people think it's like CGI, like we're like doing it in front of a green screen or something.
Like,
right?
Who does that? Like, why would we want CGI photos for our wedding? Like,
well, maybe if you want underwater photos but don't like going underwater.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a really extreme length to go to. But, no, it took people a few goes to be like, okay, they're underwater. It's like, yes, guys, we're really underwater. And so I'll show some of those behind-the-scenes ones. But one they took towards the end was they can see all the other people swimming, and then you can just see this, like, Matt holding me in this white dress floating in the water. Like, it just would have looked quite interesting. And then when I got out, I'm trying to get out, I now have a dress that probably weighed a kilo or so anyway. Now it probably weighs about 4 kilos because it's full of water. And so they're trying to help me up these stairs with this gown and get me out. And there's this man standing like 2 meters away from the ladder just with his camera just taking photos of me getting out. And like our friends are trying to get there because like we're cold as well. Like they had the towels ready to go and kind of like, excuse me, sir. But people just
get out of the way.
And then they're like, oh, so it's like your wedding day, or like, what are you doing? We're like, oh, can we not chat now? So, thank you. Congratulations. Like, thank you. We're going to go now. And then,
for all aspiring underwater models, bring more snacks.
More snacks.
Yeah, more snacks.
Always more snacks. Can't go wrong with more snacks.
Yeah, and lipstick was good too. Put that on.
Your makeup lasted, 48 hours?
It was incredible. And so that's, again, having known what we were going to be doing, the amazing wedding planners booked a makeup artist that they work with, and they've done those underwater shoots before. So my makeup.
No panda eyes, no nothing.
They could not believe it.
Crazy.
Like after underwater and a nap, and going out, my makeup was still flawless.
And the next day.
Yeah, I woke up in the morning and still like.
Wow.
Not quite as glorious.
We had to scrape it off with a trowel. Because like 24 hours, it was getting ridiculous.
I did peel my eyelashes off. That's kind of weird. But, all the behind the scenes. But yeah, no, you have to have special makeup. And even the hair just like lasted really quite well as well. And. Yeah, it was pretty fun. And then after my friend Emily said, oh, how the mighty have fallen, because I got dressed out of that into just a t-shirt and some like my travel pants
and
Matt's blazer. And we'll put that photo up too. And I pulled my hair back, it's a little dripping wet, but face of makeup, hair slicked back, wearing a man's jacket and these pants.
And she looked like a power broker.
Yeah, it was. You kept laughing. I was like, shut up, it's my wedding day. And look out, my babe.
Well, besides all the hard work, and the organization and planning and stressing a little bit. Would you do it again, Matthew?
Definitely. It was such a great day. And yeah, as Emma said, maybe like next leap year we'll probably head over to Mexico and do something similar. Maybe not the whole lot, but a photo bit, because that stuff's expensive.
I would.
Yeah.
No, I said next time I'm going to wear a sparkly dress. And we're going to go back.
What do you mean? You're going to get married every 4 years now?
We're going to renew our vows next time again. Huh. I don't have to do it every time, but it's going to be an open invitation holiday every 4 years.
Every 4 years. That off to Mexico.
People can come. We'll book, you know, book all day to them for like a week this time.
Oh, dear listeners, did you hear that? First Lovely Travels.
Open invitation.
Lovely Travels meetup.
Yeah. We're not paying for everyone, but we will invite you to the day, come and watch, come and enjoy this place. And we are going to go back every 4 years for a holiday. And then after that, so our honeymoon, we went to Belize.
Would you Belize it?
Can you Belize it? That was our
sadly, too short though. We're definitely running out of time. I would have liked to stay in Belize maybe another 2 days because it was amazing. We just went out to some of the islands.
We went to Kaikolka.
Kaikolka, yeah. It was just
Belize is, they're like Caribbean islands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a part of the mainland. It's got a bunch of islands off it. So,
So yeah, it's like you can drive into Belize from Mexico.
But we didn't because they don't allow you to take your rental car across the border.
Hoo-ha. Right. We parked our car in Chetumal and then we got the ferry
to the capital. I can't remember.
We had to do like immigration on this island and then we got another ferry to Kaikolka.
Yeah.
And the reason we didn't stay longer, we would have loved to have stayed, but originally the plan was like 5 or so days. But Mr. Elton John was in Sydney and I had tickets booked for Elton John and thankfully I went because it wouldn't have happened again. And actually, thankfully, we did come back a bit earlier because, everything hit the fan around that time. We flew back into Australia on the 7th of March 2020 and COVID was really ramping up.
Yeah, you could have
been stuck.
Could have been stuck, could have had a really long honeymoon.
Yeah. But we highly recommend just to have those couple of days just to like debrief, I guess, and just to have time to be us. And it was so beautiful. And then came back into Mexico, had a night in Cancun so that we were near the airport, but stayed at a lovely 5-star and they were very sweet, gave us an upgrade in our room and we had some champagne and stuff and just had a nice night again. Really made the most of it before we went back to Australia. And I mean, and it was weird because like nobody knew, like only our family members knew at that time. So it was kind of nice just having this little bubble and then just got back to Australia and still talking to people normally. And then like a week later, finally put it up and maybe like 2 weeks after because I wanted the professional photos. So we had these 2 weeks of not telling people and then I was like, what?
We did tell some people. We told close
family and friends.
I think I knew.
You did know. You knew it was going to happen and you knew that, in some ways we wish we could have had more people there, but in the other respect, I think it was so special and magical because of the way it was. And
I think that, you know, that should be everyone's own decision. So, you know, it just like reduces a lot of complications as well. You don't have to think about, you know, what everyone wants to eat and what they don't like and who they're going to sit next to and all this sort of stuff.
We didn't care about weddings. That. So we had our nap on that day. We went out for dinner. And that's the thing, like Mexico, you know, we paid for dinner for all of our guests and it was so reasonable, you know, and had this really lovely Mexican meal on the right on the beach. And then we went into the town and went out for drinks. And then we're dancing on a rooftop that night, you know, drinking tequila shots and doing our first wedding dance, tequila fueled. And then the next day, you loved the next day.
We just went to the beach.
Yeah.
We just went to where we stayed when we first came into Tulum together in 2016. Mm-hmm. They've got a little like beach bar, and we went back there and just spent the whole day just nothing. Yeah.
We had just breakfast burritos and Bloody Marys for brunch, and then went to the beach and just, you know, kind of debriefed and chilled. And I totally recommend that. You know, I think a lot of people do it now anyway. Like you don't just have
breakfast burritos with Bloody Marys.
Yes. But they're like, you know, the wedding weekend. So people have, you arrive on the Friday, you know, spend some time together. You then you have your full wedding day, and that's lovely. And then you have the day after to recover together. It's just nice because otherwise, you know, especially if you had more guests than we had, like just trying to see everybody, you know, around this big time, it can be really hard. So we do plan to have a wedding party in Australia. It was meant to be the 1st of August, and unfortunately COVID, so we had to postpone. And we plan to do that same wedding weekend style where everybody comes to the Gold Coast, Friday night drinks, wedding party.
Saturday night, more drinks.
And then Sunday, more drinks. Recover with some drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, like, so we had included in our plan to celebrate with our family and friends and our loved ones. So it was kind of a two-part wedding. Yeah. And I guess the only disappointment we have is that we haven't had that chance yet to celebrate with our family and friends. Like, it will 100% happen, but
we just keep having to push the date back.
Yeah. And, we had. But the funny thing is now that a lot of people who did have planned to have their, you know, traditional normal wedding affair.
Stop wedding shaming people.
Well, now a lot of people are having to have, because they were maximum five guests, like certainly Australia, are now having this small wedding and then having the party later. And we're like, damn it, like, we led the way. And if anybody was annoyed, now they're not annoyed because they're like, we're just so glad that you got to be married and you're now married and you're not sitting here waiting. So,
great timing. And I'm super happy for you guys that you had such a wonderful day or such a wonderful elopement.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Exactly.
Beyond what we could have imagined. And I think that's, so happy.
Well, congratulations again.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't know. Any tips? Get a wedding planner.
Yeah, wedding planner.
Find somebody who's in the know. I didn't want flowers. Like, so, you know, but they would have got us flowers. They would have found us the makeup person. So especially if you're doing international, find one person who can kind of connect you with the other people. It's worth it. And, you know, if you find a good person, then you trust them.
And give yourself enough time. We definitely were cutting it fine.
We had 3 months. We got engaged on the 1st of December and we got married on the 29th of February. So, just under 3 months. So,
that wasn't the problem. It was more like getting there with 3 days from arriving, or 2.5 days from arriving to the wedding. So enough gap.
If it's international, yourself like get there to the destination a little bit sooner than
give it 4 days.
Just as a buffer. But we did something cool actually as well, is that we kind of had a pre-wedding moon, so we stayed in a really nice hotel for a couple of nights before. Because I didn't want to, because we had such a small group of guests, we didn't want to like go on our wedding night and be like, see ya, we're going to have this private time. So we sort of flipped it around and we had 2 nights to ourselves in this beautiful resort that I've wanted to stay in for a long time, Astulik. It's like an eco resort, just really funky and cool. We had an amazing dinner. Awesome,
The dinner was a bonus because they messed up.
They messed up. We ended up with a free $800 dinner. Woo! Yeah.
What does an $800 dinner entail?
Like a smoking crab and like
lots
three
of
or four cocktails and sashimi, and it was like a sort of
And wait, what? They just they were bringing the orders from another table to your table?
No. We had a bit of a kerfuffle. Our room was in a not very nice place, and
they had a nightclub on scene, which didn't stop. So we had like doof doof music till 3 a.m. Our first night on arriving.
Which I was this doesn't really go with your eco vibe. Wasn't really in the brochure. And we are kind of exhausted, and so they moved us, and then they offered an apology dinner, which we thought was very nice and had no idea how much it cost, and we were quite surprised and delighted. I recommend the restaurant. It was amazing.
Also, planning the first night in the shitty room next to the nightclub.
Strategically plan that, and then get your huffy Mexican Spanish lady on. I have like my Latina alter ego, and she comes out. So I did pick up a fuss quite well, politely, but I can make a point. We also had a massage there, which was really lovely, and just had those few days again to relax before the wedding. Then we had, you know, a few friends come in, and we had, you know, night time with them, and then we had the wedding, and we were all in the villa staying together, so that was lovely. And then we had, you know, then we went off and had our own time together. So look, well planned by a certain someone, not gonna lie.
Yeah, the wedding plan.
Me!
Shout outs to the wedding planner. It must have worked night and day for months on end.
But the villa was also super awesome. Like, it's such a great idea. Like, you know, sorry, like, shout out to myself. But the hotel would have cost, like, it was really affordable. Like, the hotel would have cost $900 for 3 nights just for us. Instead, we got a villa with 3 bedrooms and really super lovely and kind of halfway between town and halfway between the beaches. Villas de la Luna. And we were, you know, that was $900 for the 3 nights for all of us, you know. So
we'd done something similar in previous weddings that our friends have had, where we all stay together.
It's just and nicer.
It's just nicer. You're with the people that you want to celebrate with for
the
whole time.
Yeah, because you get that time, like, for breakfasts and in the hallways and stuff or whatever.
Yeah,
around the pool.
Yeah, so we had the car, like it was really quite, as I said, just plan as much as you can before, make it as easy as possible for yourself, and then once you get there, let go of expectations, go with the flow, and just have good people around you, and we just, it was really stress-free because we just had great support in our friends and in the professionals.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for sharing your amazing elopement, guys. And Maddie, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime you have something to add, just like pop your head in the door and add it.
Please don't. No, I think we will do an episode on traveling with Emma.
Yeah.
Like the inside scoop.
Maybe I'll record that one with Maddie without you, maybe.
Well, yes, you've both traveled with me, so you can
remove the car battery leads from his nipples, and then so we can speak freely.
But actually, you've both had different experiences, me, because like I plan everything for us, but Darius kind of had to plan everything. I just took a back seat. So you've had very different experiences. Sorry.
That's fine. I mean, my experience was good. I don't know about Maddie. No, I'm sure it was fine. It's fine.
Just, you know, full on. 2 days in a country, then moving on to the next country for 2 days.
No, you can't say that to Darius. Darius did one day in every country with me.
Yeah, see, that's not my kind of travel. A week in each country.
Yeah. Nice. I tend to agree. But every now and then little adventures where you just do crazy stuff is fine as well.
day trip out to go somewhere else, but you know, you need a base. You need a base.
Okay, we'll do that episode another time.
Travel bases with Maddie.
Yeah. Travel hub.
No, thanks again, guys. I hope you have another wonderful 3 years until your next anniversary.
Thank you. Yes, we will have lots of photos. So head to the Instagram, Lovely Travels. Head to the Facebook page where we'll probably share the same photos, but, you know, different platforms.
The Lovely Travels community.
Yeah, Lovely Travels group. I'll probably open up questions in there. Lovely Travels community for the group.
I did get it right.
Yeah. And then if you have any questions, if you were thinking about eloping or you want to visit Mexico, especially Tulum, feel free to email us info@lovelytravels.com.
Correctamundo.
Gracias.
So thank you, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for talking. Thanks for everything.
Yeah. Okay. Hasta luego. Bye.
Bye.